Thank you, Glenn. Okay, well, thank you for staying around for a non-physiology presentation here. I feel odd being in this session with all these eminent physiologists because I'm learning a lot and I'm not a physiologist. What I'd like to speak to you today is about a project that is very exciting. We have several members of our team here in the room today. And the reason I'm excited by this project is that it's not simply a research project, but it's a project that's driven by producers in a part of Georgia that are very interested in using irrigation scheduling tools and any other means to have for conserving water. So you can see here on the project partners, we have a lot of UGA people, we have some ARS scientists, but we also have some people from other agencies who don't do research, and most specifically, the Flint River Soil and Water Conservation District, which is primarily a producer group in the very southwest part of Georgia, and I'll show you where that is on the map in a minute. And these are really forward-thinking producers who are worried about, you know, their future and their access to water. The Nature Conservancy is a big player in this project because the Nature Conservancy is trying to play a very positive role here in encouraging people to utilize different technologies that are available today to conserve water and reduce the water footprint. And all this is being accomplished with a package of resources from a variety of organizations you can see there at the bottom. So the region where all this is taking place is the lower Flint River Basin, which is the very southwest corner part of the state of Georgia. And if you can see on this Google Earth photograph, you know, that area is pivot irrigated. It's remarkable to think that the southeast has an area that has so many pivots, but pretty much 90% of the agricultural land in some of these sub-watersheds there is irrigated by pivots. And the bottom right, you can see there's a little schematic of a river basin that says the ACF. The ACF stands for the Apalachicola, Chattahoochee, Flint River Basins. And this is a river basin or a grouping of river basins that has caught the public eye and the legislative eye the last 15, 20 years because the three states that use those waters are at each other's throats about who has the rights to use the most water and so on. And the metro Atlanta area is causing a lot of our problems because they're at the very top of this river basin and are consuming a huge amount of water that they really were never destined to consume. But anyway, the farmers in the southwest part of the state are caught in the crosshairs because they are big users of the water supply. And they're juxtaposed to what the needs are of the metro areas and the oyster fishermen in the Apalachicola Bay. And center pivot irrigation is what drives all the problems that we're trying to address there. So our project goal here is pretty simple. It's to provide the Flint River Basin farmers, the producers there, with some irrigation scheduling tools that will allow them to optimize the use of water. So produce the maximum amount of food and fiber with the water they use, but also significantly conserve the amount of water that they're using. So reduce water consumption overall. And we're taking an approach where we're trying to harness proven state-of-the-art technology to do this. So we're trying to incorporate all the things that have been proven and are state-of-the-art in the last 5-10 years. And furthermore, all these solutions must be producer-friendly and reliable. So we're not trying to do a research project that requires researcher intervention all the time. The producers are going to be the ones using this, and it has to be developed so that they can. So the technologies that we've selected to use for this package that we're developing is what you see here. There's a soil moisture sensing system that's in-house that we developed at the University of Georgia. We selected to use this because it has certain advantages that we like. It doesn't mean that there aren't very many good other commercially available or other research soil moisture sensing systems out there. This one just fit our needs better. We're incorporating variable rate irrigation, which is also technology developed by UGA, but eventually commercialized and now available from all the big pivot manufacturers. We're employing a suite of irrigation scheduling models that were developed by USDA in Georgia. These are called Irrigator Pro, and they're available for peanuts, cotton, and corn, which are three important crops in our rotation there. And then we decided that we will have two modes of delivery of these tools. They will be both internet-based, so you could go to your desktop computer and access these, or you could use a smartphone to access these tools. The producers are very, very interested in the smartphone access because they don't want to be tied down to going to the desktop. They want to be, in Washington, D.C. or wherever they are at the time and be able to pull up this information and direct their farm crew to go do the appropriate action. So I'm going to begin by continue by going through these technologies sort of rapidly just to show you what we're using, and then I'm going to show you how we integrate them into this irrigation scheduling tool. You've got my timer running, right, Glenn? Okay, good. So this here is Mr. Mike Tucker, and he's demonstrating the UGA Smart Sensor Array. We chose to incorporate the proven and traditional watermarks almost for sensors into a sensor node, so we have three watermarks put in. So that's nothing very innovative. Where our innovation has come is that we've developed some electronics that allow us to use to transmit the data from the watermarks wirelessly and cheaply. And on the right, you can see one of our sensor nodes installed in the field. One of the innovations here is that we have our little antennas at the top of this whipped fiberglass rod, and it's mounted on a spring-loaded device here so that farm vehicles can go right over it, so it's non-intrusive. So that helps a lot. Here we are, Calvin Perry, one of my colleagues and co-authors here, his research is comparing a number of different sensor systems, and including ours. So you can see here the comparison of what the profile of ours looks like compared to other systems that are commercially available. And again, its main advantage is that it's non-intrusive and they don't need to be removed for farm vehicles to go over them. Another major advantage is that is the wireless system we've chosen to use here. We chose to use mesh networks, which is a very low power, a very effective way to transmit information. And basically what it does, if you can see on the picture on the left there, you install the nodes with the antennas, and the little radio transmits information, but it's over a fairly short distance, so the maximum range is line of sight of approximately a mile. But in a canopy, you know, that's effectively about three-quarters of a mile to half a mile. But it has the ability to build a mesh network, so they daisy chain how the information is moved. So presumably, the information can go either directly to the pivot point where we have our gateway instrumentation, or it can go to node number 9 and then bounce to the gateway, or go to node number 2 and then bounce to the gateway. And the good thing about this is they're self-healing. So if one of these nodes gets destroyed or the batteries somehow run out of power, they recreate that network and transmit the information. So you can go over rolling terrain, you can go through, around trees if you have to. It's very flexible. And here is an example of a data file that's transmitted periodically from the gateway to our FTP server, which I'll show you in the next slide. But the information here is, you know, it's pretty minimal, so we have a very short burst of information transmittal. We have quite a bit of information included in here, though. We have information about the batteries life. We have two AA batteries there that last about 140 days, so that it's very energy efficient. We have the soil water tension data from the three watermarks that are installed. In our situation, they're at 8, 16, and 24 inches. And then we have three temperature readings as well. One is the circuit board temperature, one is ambient air temperature, and one is soil temperature. So this information then is transmitted from the gateway, and right now we're using just a netbook computer because it's very cheap, costs us about $200. We installed this netbook computer at the gateway, which is typically at the center pivot. It has a solar panel which charges, so it's independent, it doesn't need AC power. And then we're using a cellular modem to transmit this information to our web server. And at the web server, we have all the software where the producers can go from anywhere in the world, access this information and see what's going on in the field. And I'm going to show you that user interface, which we call the FIST dashboard, in a few slides. But first I want to show you one of the main reasons why we wanted to use the UGA soil sensor as opposed to the other commercially available systems. The watermarks, as you probably all know, report soil water tension as opposed to volumetric water capacity. And that's very important to us because the Irrigator Pro suite of models also use soil water tension to make irrigation decisions. So our system moves seamlessly into the Irrigator Pro suite of models. Now here's an example graph of about half the season from 2011. You can see the three colored lines represent three different depths. The blue line is the shallow one, the red one is the deep one. You can see the diurnal patterns that occur here, the wetting and drying. You can see the response of the depths to irrigation and precipitation. For example, here is a 1-inch irrigation event. Essentially, it influenced only the shallowest soil moisture sensor, the ones at 12 and 20 inches, didn't see that moisture at all. When we had about a 2.5-inch rain a few days later, then all of them responded, and you can see how the soil profile wetted and then begins to dry out again. So we like the system. It's been quite successful for us. Our next technology is the variable rate irrigation technology. And one of the reasons we think it's a very valuable tool for producers in this part of the state is that it conserves water by allowing them to remove these non-crop areas. You can see this is a very complex landscape here with wetlands and all kinds of non-crop features in it. So the variable rate irrigation system that we're using is the one that's been commercialized by FarmScan. You can see here sort of the gridding pattern allows you to control water application rates from zero all the way to 200% of normal. And each one of these cells can be controlled individually, and you can get between 0% and 200% there. In terms of conservation of water, just flat-out conservation without management at all, you can see here there are about 30 acres that are not at all irrigated because they're non-crop features. So the sprinklers are turned off there. So immediately you have water savings by not cropping, by not irrigating those areas. The Irrigator Pro suite of models, again, is in the public domain. They've been developed by USDA RS, so we're just employing them, incorporating them into our irrigation package. This is a simplified flow chart of the decision-making process that we're using to schedule irrigation, and I'm not going to go through all of it because it's fairly complex, and if you're interested, you can download the presentation and look at it later. But I want to point out some interesting features. When a producer logs in or gets a notification that there's something's going on, it could be for a couple of reasons. One could be that the sensors are not operating properly or that irrigation is required. And if irrigation is required, Irrigator Pro will be moving in the background and sending irrigation scheduling recommendations. The interesting feature that I want to show you here is that we are going to have some very high resolution precipitation forecasts. IBM's Deep Thunder team is partnering with us to allow us to use these supposedly 95% accurate precipitation resolution of 1 kilometer. So that's going to be exciting. All that information then can be downloaded to a VRI map. At this point, it's a manual download from the smartphone or the home computer to a USB stick to the VRI controller, but at some point in the future we hope to automate that link as well. So I'm getting very close to the end of my time, so I want to show you a bit about the results that we've done so far. This project began about a year ago, and we've managed to accomplish quite a bit in 1 year. We have 10 demonstration sites, 10 different fields, range from about 100 to 200 acres in the southwest part of the state of Georgia. You can see them with the yellow push pins here. All these fields have been instrumented with a variable rate irrigation pivot, so they're all VRI enabled now. We've made a lot of progress in developing the dashboard. Here's a mock-up of one of those fields. You can see where the sensors might be out in the field. The color of the sensor at this point shows you whether irrigation is needed there or not. The red has a kilopascal threshold that shows that the field is drying there. Here you would see the Irrigator Pro recommendations for each of the zones in this pivot. And then here you can approve these, modify them, and export them if you so desire. I want to show you the results of the soil water tension data from a couple of these fields just to illustrate why water management is so important in this region. So I'm going to show you two different fields that are basically adjacent to each other. In this particular field, the producer had access to the data but wasn't really scheduling with the data yet. But, you know, we were monitoring the data. And you can see here, it's hard to read the scale, but essentially this field was quite dry. For example, here you can see that the soil water tension has reached 200 kilopascals, which is very, very dry, for many weeks during the season at this particular node. And here they're quite dry. Compare this to this field, which is in cotton also and only a mile away, managed by a different producer. In this particular field, the producer essentially turned the pivot on at the beginning of the season, left it on for the whole season. So the soil profile is very, very wet. And so so here are the opportunities for irrigation scheduling and reducing the water footprint. So these producers are eager to learn. They're very eager to employ this information. 8 seconds. Can I do my conclusion? Okay. So the next steps here, during this coming spring, we're going to finish the dashboard and deploy it to the producers. They're going to try and use it for irrigation scheduling during the summer of 2013. There will be bugs, I know, so we'll have to fix those bugs. We're also going to be converting this to a smartphone app. It won't be ready for this season, but it will be ready for 2014. Below the red line is what we want to do in the future if we get additional funding, and we've written a host of proposals that we hope some will get funded that will allow us to do this. Dr. Snyder is already doing some field validation of crop response in one of these fields. We hope to be able to do it in many, many more fields if we have access to resources. And with that, here's my contact information. I'm sorry we've run out of time, but I'll be here at the break if you have any questions for me.
Thanks, George.